May I start with a praise item? I'm just really, really glad. I had another MRI, and I had more results, and it showed that the mass outside my skull, the cancerous mass outside my skull, has not grown. It's still shrunken drastically. Yeah, I marvel in the Lord. As a matter of fact, when I went to the radiologist oncologist just last Wednesday, he gave me more of results, and a results two results that I never even thought about before, and I'm just so amazed. But anyway, many years ago, I think 10 years ago now, I had many strokes, as the neurologist told me so, TIAs. And this MRI, and what happened when I got that MRI after those strokes, found that the arteries had broken, and you could see in the X-rays that there were clots. One artery had a clot here, the other artery had a clot here, because they were broken because of the strokes. And I never thought about it before when I had other MRIs, but just this last recent MRI, the oncologist told me that my brain is clear. The arteries, they show no signs of any kind of mini strokes. And it's all to the glory of the Lord, because I never took any medication. So it has to be the Lord, right? And also, the last time I was in the hospital, I had extensive tests done, including on the heart. And I had mitral valve prolapse. And those tests shows that I don't have it anymore. And again, I never had any medication for that, as if there is any. But anyway, I just praise the Lord. I'm just really very pleased. And also, the cancer numbers came down another 29 points. When I started out, when I was first diagnosed, I was 653. Now I'm at 109. And if I continue... Unbelievable. If I continue in that vein, I'll be in remission in 2 months. I just can't get over it. And I've been so careful, because the metastatic breast cancer spread to my bones, for those of you who don't know that, stage 4. So I'm very careful of everything I do and how I walk. I don't want to break a bone or collapse my spine, you know. And this morning it was raining, and I didn't have my church keys with me, and I had to come into the church right away. I have a jumpsuit on, and that makes a difference in, you know, your business. So I had to run. I had to run into the church after someone let me in, and I realized, hey, I'm running. And I can't believe it, because I've never been able to run since I've been diagnosed, or since before I've been diagnosed as well, because my bones hurt. But my bones don't hurt anymore. And it's raining. I just can't believe it. So for however long it lasts, I am grateful. But as we sang this morning, you know, I'm ready. If he is, well, maybe I'm not, because I'm here. But when he wants me, I'll be happy to go. Anyway, it's Mother's Day. Happy birthday, yeah, right. I'm thinking of you. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And the first Mother's Day was celebrated by a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. Many of you know that. In 1904, she celebrated in a church service her deceased mother. She wanted to give honor to her mother, and no wonder, because her mother had 13 children. She was one of 13, and all of them except her had died before they reached adulthood. So that was a remarkable woman. And then in 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed that Mother's Day should be a national day of celebration. And he said, I quote, "We should thank all moms, your mom and everyone's mom, mothers rather," end of quote. And we do. You don't have to be a mother to celebrate Mother's Day, because we all have mothers. And that leads me to my message this morning, Mother Eve. You know, when we talk about Mother Eve, sometimes we linger there and get some bad vibes. But it's about time that we change and start thinking about her in a new vein. Because, yes, even though she's our mother in sin, excuse me a minute, pennies. Trash. Okay. Oh, brother. I hate this when it does this. Sometimes it just locks up and then I can't get my stuff. Don't you hate that? Modern technology. Come on, in the name of Jesus, I ain't putting up with this morning. Got it. I do have a photographic memory, but phew. Anyway, my message this morning, the Lord gave me this title, The Three Phases of Eve. P-H-A-S-E-S, the three phases of Eve. If any of you are my age or a little older, you may remember a movie called The Three Faces of Eve back in 1957. It was based upon a true story about a woman who was schizophrenic. She had three different personalities. And in fact, just recently, her identity has been released. But anyway, Joanne Woodward, an actress way back then, she won an Academy Award for her appearance, for her portrayal of that woman. And I thought to myself, okay, the three phases of Eve, the three faces of Eve, okay, she has three faces, but you will see how this is connected. The Lord showed me how this is connected, the three phases of Eve. So why this message on Mother's Day to become better women and mothers, to teach our children, not only our children, to teach our children the right way, but as we have influence in the lives of other children, we should teach them the right way. So we have three phases here. The first phase is perfection. So turn to the book of Genesis, that would be the beginning, as we read. Genesis. Genesis 2. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. Now, I know you know all this, but I'm just laying some more background. When the Lord had made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub and of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. Okay, so we find that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden. East speaks of heaven, in Eden. And there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So there were two trees in that garden, as you know. A river watering the garden from Eden. From there, it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first, the Pishon. I'll just go to verse 12. The gold, the land of gold, Havilah, Gihah, that would be Cush, that would be Iran and Iraq and Armenia. And the Tigris River, and the great Euphrates River. 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from every tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Now, let's drop down to 20. But for Adam, the Lord created all the animals and all of that stuff. So for Adam, there was no suitable helper for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was asleep, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, "Now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." Now, okay, let's read this. So for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and yet they felt no shame. Okay? Now, the serpent was in that garden too, and he was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree that is in the garden?" I'm going to stop there for a moment because I want to talk about perfection. The woman, Eve, was given that name by Adam. Adam called her Eve because her name means mother of the living. God called her Adam, Mr. and Mrs. Adam, man and woman, man and man. S, ish and ish ish in Hebrew. So he saw them as one, but Adam called her Eve. And her perfection was that she was created by God. She was the most beautiful woman that ever existed. You picture that. There are a lot of Hollywood women who are gorgeous, and yet she was the most beautiful woman who ever existed. She was the most intelligent woman ever to exist. She used all her brain, just like Adam. We don't use all our brain today. But she had to have been very intelligent to help Adam in that garden, because that garden was no garden like we have in our backyard. That garden was very large. It was fed by the great Euphrates River, the Tigris, the Gihon, the Pihon. That's quite a big area. It consists of Iran, Iraq, Mesopotamia, Armenia. That's quite a large garden. And so they had to have been very intelligent to do that. And she helped him in that. She had the perfect home. It was paradise. It was the Garden of Eden. She was the first mother. She was the first to be named by God and to be named by her husband. So, we find that a perfect woman was created once for nothing, nothing. So then why would she seek anything else when she has it made? Does that speak to you? You may not think your life is perfect, but the Bible says you're perfect and complete. You lack nothing in God. And yet, as women, men too, we always want more, it seems. It seems like we're not happy with what we have, which is perfect in the Lord. And so we seek other avenues. So now we have the three phases here of Eve: perfection, she's perfect. And now phase two, we go into perdition. Don't let that word scare you. We know perdition refers to hell. It refers to what Judas was all about, the son of perdition, what he did, how he betrayed Christ. But perdition means, the actual meaning is suffering. And Eve suffered as a result of her sin. So now let's look at her sin and suffering. Fall of man, Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from the tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. And you must not touch it," where'd she get that, "or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. Now he's using a truth. He's using a half-truth here to tempt her to look for something better. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves. I'll get to that in a little bit. What I want you to know now, what the Lord wants all of us to know, is that her sin can be found in 1 John 2:16. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I thought of Julius Caesar when he said, Vene Vidi Vici, when he conquered one of the battles in, it's Turkey now. I guess it was, I don't know what it was back then. Asia Minor, that's what it was. Anyway, I came, I saw, I conquered. Vene Vidi Vici. She saw, she took, and she conquered. But what she conquered is not what she wanted to conquer. You see, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that's what all we, and here's where it comes to play. The fact that we are all spiritually schizophrenic. Don't get upset over that, because we are. The Bible says we are. And I'll tell you where the Bible tells us we are. As soon as I look at my notes. Paul said in Romans 7:14, the very thing I want to do, I don't do. And the very thing I don't want to do, I do, and vice versa. Right? Paul knew that he has a body of sin. This flesh, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The very thing I want to do, I don't do, and vice versa. And you and I, we want to do the right thing all the time, do we not? Of course we do. Then why do we do the wrong thing? Because we're spiritually schizophrenic. We don't know why, except to say that our mother is Mother Eve, and we are evil because of that. And so that's why we sin. But that's a cop-out. We shouldn't go that way. We have to go beyond that. So now, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. I see it. I get it. So there. So there's nothing wrong in desiring things that are necessary. Now let's just say, you know, your kids are growing, your children are growing, you need a bigger house, you want a nicer house, maybe a house with a pool and an extra bedroom. There's nothing wrong with that. If you can do it, if you ask the Lord to help you buy another house like that, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong in desiring nice things. But inordinate desire is wrong. That's lust. That's the desire that says, well, my friend has a big house, so I want one bigger. My friend has nice things, nice cars. I want one too. I want that too. Bigger and better. And then, see, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life comes in because you're saying, so there. That's the pride of life, knowing that you have power over everybody else. And that's the pride of life, knowing that I want it, I got it, so there, I'm on top. And that's what it was for Eve. She saw it, she got it, and then she had one up on her husband. And that's something that the Lord told her that would happen. Now, lust, inordinate desire, unrestrained in conduct, uncontrolled, and the opposite of that is unreasonable and moderate. The Latin word is lasciviousness. The Greek word, you probably recognize all of this, is nephesh, and the biblical is epithemia, Hebrew awah hamad. Not only do these refer to sexual sins, but they refer to all sin, whether it's big or small. Sin is sin, okay? So what happened as a result of her sin? Well, let's do this. We got to give the Lord the glory. We got to give the Lord honor and glory to his name. There wasn't no apple. There was no apple. In the 4th century A.D., the Latin Vulgate translated the book of Genesis. And in that, this scripture about the garden of good and evil, the fruit from the garden of good and evil, there's just one word that describes apple and evil. Let me read it to you right here so I don't make a mistake. Malum, M-A-L-U-M, apple in Latin. Malum, M-A-L-U-M, evil. It's the same word. It's the same translation, but it's Latin. It's not Hebrew. And people, from that, people got the idea that Eve ate an apple. But she didn't. She ate from the garden of good and evil. Now, Eve probably ate lots of apples. They were red and beautiful and delicious. When she ate oranges and pears and all that, why would she want anything more than what she already had? She probably had the best of vegetables, all organic too, right? But if it was an apple, and it wasn't, the moment she bit it, it would be full of worms, or worse, half a worm. I was thinking about this when I put this scripture together. I was thinking, you know what? That actually happened to me. Not with an apple, but with a candy bar, because one of my lusts is chocolate. And Pastor Charles and I were on our way to Rhode Island to secure a house in Army housing. And we were driving along. We stopped and got some snacks. And, of course, I had to get my chocolate. Peter Paul Mounds. Coconut, chocolate. And I bit into it, and I thought, this doesn't taste too good. And I happened to put it up here and looked into the candy bar, and the coconut was moving. And I screamed, you know, a pastor pulled over on the side. He said, you're going to get us killed. You're going to get us in an accident. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? I said, I just ate part of this Peter Paul Mounds, and the coconut is moving. There's worms in this candy bar. And, of course, I spit it out. But look at that on a small scale compared to bigger things. On a small scale, how I lust after chocolate. I still do confess my sin. Got to have chocolate. I can, I'm not, if you give me a box of chocolate for any occasion, I'm not satisfied to eat just one piece. I have to eat just many, many, many pieces in very few days. But anyway, that's what happens. That's what happens when you desire something and you go for it, you know, and it just might not be the best thing for you. If Eve really ate an apple, there must have been a half a worm in there or many more at that. So what was it that Satan tempted her with? You know the answer? Anybody know the answer? The fruit from the garden of the fruit from the tree of the good and evil, the knowledge of good and evil. We don't know exactly what it was, but someday we will. And we know that she was tempted, and she bit. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, she gives it to her husband. And what does the Lord say? Well, because of her sin, she caused her husband to sin. And the Lord said, you'll have more pain in childbirth. So, ladies, you can thank Mother Eve for that. Right? But look on the bright side. We get at least one good week a month. One month is premenstrual. The second week is menstrual. The third week is postmenstrual. So we get one good week out of the month. Praise the Lord, right? We conquer everything in that one week of the month, right? So that's looking on the good side. The bad side is what Eve gave to us. Pain in childbirth. And she is ruled by her husband. The Lord said to her, you will be ruled by your husband, and yet your desire is to be ruling over him. She did that, didn't she? By partaking of that fruit and giving it to him. I came, I saw, I conquered, I got him, but look what it got her. Now she's ruled by her husband. She's longing, lusting to rule over her husband. She got evicted from her perfect home. She was the first mother to see her firstborn son murder her secondborn son. And she was the first mother to see her children flee from their home, not in a good way either. Because Cain, he fled the coop, you know, he flew the coop. But he must have taken one of his sisters, because then they replenished the earth. So Eve had so much heartache as a result of her sin, as the result of perdition. So she came from perfection, and now she's in perdition. Let me look over my notes. I don't want to miss anything. You know, with that spiritual schizophrenia, as Paul said, the one thing I want to do, I don't do, and vice versa. Well, also, James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, in all her ways. What is it? We want to do the right thing, and yet we don't. And then when we do the wrong thing, we suffer for it. It's petition. It's suffering. But it doesn't end there. At least it shouldn't then there. Now, Eve's sin was a sin of reproach. That means everyone remembers it forever. Just like David did. His sexual sin was a sin of reproach. We don't always think of the good things that he did, you know, as a man after God's own heart and all that. We always remember the sin that he committed. And we always remember Mother Eve as the sin she committed and how we are cursed, so-called, as a result of her sin. But now, can we look on the good side, men and women alike? Can we look from perfection to perdition to penitence, the third phase of Eve, because she was the first woman to repent? Now, I don't find anything here that says Adam and Eve said that they were sorry for their sin. So we don't really know if they were godly sorry, or worldly sorry. We don't know that they were sorry, they sinned, they did the wrong thing, they got kicked out of their house, perfect place. We don't know if they were sorry for that, which probably has something to do with it, or were they more sorrowful that they sinned against God? That would be the greater, that would be the godly sorrow versus the worldly sorrow. But in any event, the Lord finds mercy, gives them mercy. And so he slays an animal, and he makes skins for them. Now, she was the first woman to repent. She was the first woman to sacrifice. Genesis 3:21 talks about atonement, slaying an animal for its blood and its skins for her covering. A foreshadowing picture of Jesus shedding his blood as the first complete sacrifice once and for all. No more animal sacrifice needed for atonement, according to Hebrews 10. So why don't we remember that? Why don't we say to ourselves, I don't want to sin, but when I do sin, let me confess it immediately to God and call upon the blood of Christ, that he was a sacrificial lamb that made atonement for us, that washed away our sin, that covered our sin, that covers us, covers our shame, that covered their nakedness. God covered their nakedness. It speaks of our shame. And also, she was the first woman to overcome her guilt and shame According to Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And yet when we sin, we have guilt and condemnation, but we shouldn't. Again, we don't want to, but we end up doing that very thing that we don't want to do, like Paul said. And why can't we remember that about Mother Eve? Do you know what it must have been like for her to walk on? You know, that the gates, the angels guarded the gates to that perfect place. They could no longer go back into paradise. They were evicted. How would you like to have a perfect house, perfect place? Everything's beautiful. Everything's perfect. And then you got to leave. And you got to leave because it's your fault. Talk about guilt and condemnation. How do you overcome that? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, I believe. The Bible says that. But also, what about Adam? She caused him to be evicted as well. They already had their first fight, by the way. That's what happened immediately. Sin came in immediately when she partook of that forbidden fruit. They already had their first fight. The Lord said, you know, paraphrase, what are you doing down there? What did you eat of that, right? She says, the serpent made me do it. Paraphrasing, he gave it to me. He made me eat. The devil made me do it. You did it yourself. When we sin, we usually do it ourselves unless we don't know about it. And then what happened to Adam? The Lord spoke to Adam the same thing. And he said, listen to what he said. That woman you gave me, she made me eat. She tempted me. She made me eat. It's like passing the buck, but they already started to argue. Sin had already come into the camp. And I'd shudder at that. Not only did he say, you know, the woman made me do it, but the woman you gave me. In other words, he's blaming her, but he's blaming God too. That just doesn't sit well with me. It's a little creepy. But anyway, she had a lot to overcome. And there are a lot of people out there that sin a great sin. Great sins. Sins that maybe you and I haven't committed. And if we have, it's difficult to live with. There are murderers out there. There are child abusers out there. And they come to Christ. Many of them come to Christ. And I think of a man, I even forget his name. He was on the 700 Club. Doug Oldman. Do you remember Doug Oldman? Any of you? He's a wonderful singer. And he openly confessed to everybody on the show many times that he was abusive to his 5-year-old little girl. And he used to lock her in the closet. And then he came to Christ, and he had his beautiful voice, and he sang. But when he came to Christ, he was just, you know, you love much. The more you're forgiven, you love even that much more. But he had a hard time overcoming that guilt and condemnation that he felt every time he looked at this little girl. And he wrote a song, and the song was called, Daddy Doesn't Live Here Anymore. Meaning that he was a different man. He was saved. He was born again. He was touched by the Lord. But you better believe Satan must have tortured him with what he did. And he had to come to Christ right away and say, I rebuke you, devil, get away from me in the name of Jesus. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. I'm set free. I'm a new man. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And most of us have never committed sins like that. And yet we feel guilt for the sins that we have committed. And we need to overcome that. We need to get rid of that stuff. She, Eve, is our mother. Let us learn from her. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold resolutely to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. Let us hold on to our faith, not giving into the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Let us confess our sin and teach our children to do the same. I get a little upset today when I see children doing something bad and the mother and the father make light of it. Oh, she didn't mean it. Oh, he didn't mean it. Oh, okay. I know, honey, you didn't mean it. No, you did wrong. Ask the Lord for forgiveness. Doesn't take but 2 minutes. Lord, I'm so sorry. Pray with your child. Can you pray with your child? Lord, forgive me. Forgive my little girl. Forgive my little boy. Teach them to do that. And then you reward them. Because that's what the Lord does to us. He pours out his grace. He pours out his love. He pours out his mercy. We don't deserve that. We deserve death, the Bible tells us. But we have so many blessings in the Lord because he loves us so much. And all we have to do is confess it and teach our children to do the same. And then move on, because there will be something else in the future to move on to. Now, again, the three phases of Eve: perfection, perdition, and penitence. And we have to remember that we are going to go back to the future someday. And let me read to you when we go back to the future. Revelation 22. Behold, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. And I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into that city. We're going to go back into that city again someday. We're going to be eating from that tree of life again someday. Only there won't be any devil there to tempt us or to do any harm to us. We'll be in total bliss. And this is what we have to remember in Mother Eve. She repented of her sin. And even though we have some problems today as a result of that sin, the result of Adam's sin, we've got to get past it. And we've got to stop remembering negative things. We have to start remembering positive things, because we don't want to be guilty and have the sin of reproach upon us. What we want to do today is to teach our children well. There was another song back then, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. Teach your children well. Give them what they need to live by. We are born again, spirit-filled believers. And yet, the very thing we want to do, we don't do. We do the wrong thing. Unless we walk very closely with the Lord so that we do the right thing as much as it is possible, so that the spiritual genetics we pass down to our children will be great. We'll be right, we'll be loving, we'll be the right thing as unto the Lord. Let's pray. My Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, how we love you so much. And even though we study and study your word, there's so many things we don't understand. And we don't understand why it had to happen the way it did in that beautiful garden. But yet we are told that if that were us back then, we would have done the same thing. We thank you, Lord, that you destroyed, that you got rid of the curse of sin and death, and that we don't have to walk like that anymore, because Christ Jesus set us free from the curse of sin and death. And so I ask you now, Holy Spirit, to come and fill us up to overflowing. Let us get rid of all the garbage that weighs us down, and let that void be filled with the Holy Spirit's power within us, that we can say no to the lust of the eye, to the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We want to be well on our way back to the future, back to that perfect place, Lord God. And whenever you say, it's time, then it's time. But for the meantime, while we're here, Lord, we want to live right. We want to have you in our lives. And we want to be good influences on our children and those around us. I pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will free any of us here today who suffers with the sin of reproach. We should not remember those sins because we're forgiven. And your word says that you choose to forget our sins when we confess them to you. So who are we to remember? Reverse form of pride. And I also pray, Lord, that we don't remember the sins of others. Others who have sinned against us or our children. Let us forget and press on to win that prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This Mother's Day, oh Lord, I pray that it's not a sad day for anyone. Yes, many of us have lost our mothers. Many of our mothers are with you right now rejoicing. And let us remember the good things that our mothers taught us. Let us remember the good things that the surrogate mothers have taught us, those that we hold in high esteem. They may not be our mothers, but they've had motherly influences in our lives. Let us remember that, Lord. Let us give you glory for them, O Lord. And let's not remember just the sin of Eve. Let us remember Mother Eve as the woman, first woman to repent of her sin. The first woman to overcome great things, obstacles, horrible things. Yet she overcame because of the blood of the animal. And you taught her how to repent. And you teach us today. And we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Pastor Tom.
Thank you, Pastor Donna. Well, as we prepare to go, and I know some of you have plans for today, would be amiss if it didn't at least give opportunity, if anybody needs to, wants to, is feeling that they need to commit themselves to the Lord. You may have heard the message, the gospel, a lot. You may be in and around church, but you can't come into God's house, right, and not have the opportunity given to you. So though many of you I know and many of you I know have invited Christ, I do want to always invite you. Invite you, because that's what he's doing. He's being patient right now because there's opportunity for people still to come to him. So the same way that Adam and Eve had to have their sin covered by God, he killed the animal. He eventually allowed his son to be killed. So I would need to make that appeal and that call and make it available. So I'm going to ask you all to stand. I'm going to lead you in a prayer and a blessing. And I'm going to invite anyone who, for one, wants to invite the Lord into their life and surrender and begin to live the life that he really intended for you. I'm going to invite you to come forward. And for the rest of you, I'm going to pronounce that blessing and dismiss you, but also allow anyone who needs prayer for any reason to come forward, and we're going to pray for you. I am going to ask Laura to come up and help with handing out the roses. If you're a mom, I'm going to ask that moms would come first. We'll eventually probably have enough roses for all ladies. just to acknowledge and thank you. But we'll ask for the moms to come first and allow you to select which color rose you may like, and ask that at least when you first come up that you would just ask for one rose. If when we're done there's someone else that you want to get a rose for, take one too. If there's extra at the end, we'll be glad to allow you to do that. So let me pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that in you and from you flows all life. Lord, and you created us, male and female, in your image, both to reflect who you are. Lord, you are perfect. You are perfect. And Lord, as we have come to know you and walk with you, and we walk with you, male and female, and we get to know you and know your heart in different ways, today is the day we thank you, Lord, that you said that it's not good that man be alone, and that you created, or you created, right from our flesh, another that could be like us and be a helper. Lord, and we honor them this day, thanking you that you have allowed them, Lord, to have your life in them. Lord, and that we get to continue to populate, Lord, and to know you, and to bring new life, new eternal life, Lord, these beings that you bless us with. So, Lord, we thank you for every mom here. Lord, continue to give them all the grace and wisdom they need. And Lord, we thank you for this grace that covers us all. So I pray now with the words that you gave Moses and told him to bless the people with. And I say that the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen.